Old Down Under. Turn this banger up. Not a pom, judging Aussie tunes. Aussie music, mate. Alternative Down Under. Alternative Down Under.
Well, would you looky here? It's episode 4 of Alt Down Under with me, Luke Scanlon. I hope you're all good and just about surviving silly season. It's nearly Christmas. And yeah, you can probably hear a slight grumble in my voice. And that's because it's just, yeah, classic silly season. Too many leaving drinks, too many Christmas drinks. And it's just all going on, guys. I hope you're doing well. Thanks for all the feedback on the last episode, episode 3. My chat with Jimmy Smith, guitarist of Foals, and yeah, still absolutely buzzing off of that chat. And just great feedback from all of you who listened. And hopefully, if you hadn't heard Foals before, I'm sure most of you listening have. If you hadn't heard them before, then you're now set off on a course of Foals discovery, just listening to all of their amazing tunes across the years. But enough of the last episode. And on to this, episode 4, where I'll be catching up with a brilliant outfit from Western Australia, Dulcy. That chat coming up shortly. Just wanted to say that I will be taking a quick break because a friend of mine has just arrived from back home in Blighty. He's come over for a few weeks, so we're hitting the road, going off and doing a classic East Coast road trip, hitting all the major spots. And yeah, just living it up over the next few weeks. So I've got this one in just before I've hit the road, and I'll be back with you early January. And to be honest, it's kind of weird. It's a bit like this podcast. I've come over here showing you the best of Aussie music, all about me, a Brit, scoping out these new bands for you guys here in Australia and back home in the UK, you guys listening. But yeah, it's kind of weird. Same vibes. Mate's coming over here. I'm like showing him, trying to show him all the best places, take him around. And I've fully gone back into tourist mode. It's strange. After like nearly a year here, you kind of feel like you actually do live here and it's just part of your everyday life. But now I'm going back in, taking pictures of things I've walked past every day. And just, yeah, it's been good, man. It's been good fun. So yeah, when we come back, I'll have my chat with Declan McKenna, a review of Heaps Good Festival as well. And of course, a recap of the road trip. Hopefully everything goes smoothly. We've got a cute little camper van, which we're going to be shacking up in for a week or so. Catching up some pals in Sydney as well. Just cannot wait to get out there and enjoy it. And yeah, hopefully catch a gig on the road somewhere along the way. So yeah, if you do know anyone playing up in the East Coast, maybe Brisbane sort of area, or even Sydney, do let me know. Slide into the DMs at alt.down.under. Give me a shout and let me know. If you're a band who's playing and you fancy saying hello to me and my mate, do let me know and we'll drop by and hopefully catch you live.
Alternative Down Under.
Okay, let's stop mucking about and get into today's episode. A chat with a band that I've been listening to for quite some time now, before I even came out to Australia. So I kind of tracked them down as I need to talk to you. Let's have a sit down and have a conversation. So I finally got in touch with them. Finally, after the expected email back and forth, we managed to have a sit down and get into a chat. And that, as I mentioned before, is with the fantastic Dulcy. They're a three-piece coming out of WA, and yeah, I've just got such an addictive sound, and it's just like pure joy in a lot of their songs, and just very, very high production values that just are absolutely beautiful to listen to, and a lot of their tunes are an absolute bop as well, as you'll find out in the interview. Their latest track, Sore Loser, dropped at the end of November, ace little tune that they've dropped into their repertoire. They've done supports with the likes of Ocean Alley. They played at the first ever South by Southwest in Sydney earlier on in the year. And I just really think some big, big things are coming for what is such an exciting band. This is my chat with Ashley Carr-White, who's on vocals and keys for Dulcy. I am with Ash from Dulcy, the lovely Ash Carr-White, vocalist, and she also tinkles the keys in the band. How are you, Ash?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm bloody good. We just had a chat about peanut butter before starting record, and it made me laugh because you were like, I used to be smooth, now I'm crunchy.
Now I'm crunchy with lots of extra butter on top of that.
Fuck yeah. What was the turning point?
I don't know. I can't pinpoint when that happened, when that profound experience changed for me. But I feel like today we just had crunchy and I was thinking, well, I guess I'm going to have crunchy today and I've never gone back.
You know, like how a lot of podcasts do, like real in-depth, like traumatic conversations. I'll use this as a socials clip. It's like, when was the, like, really serious? What was the turning point there, Ash? What did you get through?
It's very serious business.
It is indeed. On to more serious business then. You guys have just come off the back of a tour. Was it 9 dates in total? Is that right?
Oh, gosh. I feel like it was such a blur. I can't even remember. But we have recently, we've done about like the last month, we've been doing gigs in a way for around 2 weeks, but sort of spread out. So, yeah, it's been pretty crazy.
Yeah, good times, man. So I wanted to just ask a bit about tour. Obviously, it's already happened. Because it always makes me laugh with tour, because it's like a lot of artists are like, oh, mate, yeah, best time ever. I'm on tour. It's great. Are there any parts of tour that get old for you that you're a bit like, I'm okay, I'm a little bit over this shit now?
Oh, my gosh. We all love being on tour. Like, it's so much fun. And I feel like there's definitely moments, though, that you think, oh, I want my own bed right now. But, yeah, the last week was so crazy. I think we just tried to cram so much in. We went to Sydney on Thursday, played 2 gigs, slept in Sydney, then played another gig the next day, then flew back and had 2 shows on the weekend. So I think just the fast-paced nature of it and just trying to meet your budget where, like, doing the 4 a.m. flights, the red eyes, the really cheap budget accommodation, sleeping on floors, but you know, it's all part of the charm, so you gotta love it.
This is like the thing that people don't really realize with tour. It's like the unglamorous side of it all, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Oh, but you know what is glamorous? We get into the lounge now, so even though we do the really rough sleeping on sofas, like, you know, all the budget stuff, when we get to the Virgin Lounge, we are treated like royalty. We're getting our free drinks. We're filling up our plates. It's good.
Wait, are you the Ash Cartwright?
Sorry, it is. You know who I am?
That is very official. Unreal. You're a little collective, Dulcie. Who, if you're the one that is a bit like, don't know what day of the week it is there someone in the band that does take the reins on stuff? Is a bit like...
Oh, actually, I feel like that's funny because I'm... take the reins on stuff usually.
What time we're meeting, Ash? Don't know. What day? Don't have a clue.
Don't know, guys. Yeah, we're self-managing at the moment, which is like quite a lot, but I feel like we're all pretty like the typical kind of creative where we're all a little bit like, oh, I missed that message. Oh, I don't know what's going on, but somehow we make it work, you know?
Perfect.
So it's fun.
So you guys, you're actually without a manager at the moment. Have you been with a manager in the past?
Yeah, we have.
Right.
Which was great. Just didn't work out in the end, but no hard feelings. But now we're just self-managing, which is a learning experience. It's good, though.
I'm just being an annoying interviewer and be like, go on, give me the dirt.
What's the tea?
Yeah, really, really dig it out. So anyway, back to single releases, because Off By Heart, when that came out, because I remember I had to revisit this to refresh my mind, but I do remember you posting at the time being like, oh, it's quite different in sound and style to what we've released previously. So are you finding, because you've been around a few years now, are you finding that you kind of like more in your groove in a way, and you kind of are feeling freer to like open up to new stuff?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I feel like we've evolved a lot over the last 5 years. We've been a band for quite a while now, which is crazy to think about where the time's gone. When we first started the band, it was very much band focused. So we would just record the classic drums, key, guitar, bass. So we just revolved around what we had. And then in more recent years, we've just been way more open-minded to production and pop. And I feel like that comes from just having different influences, different inspirations and different ideas and having the resources to do it now. Like, we've worked with some really cool producers, and I feel like that really helps. Just means like, wow, we can do anything. So
yeah. It's interesting you mentioned production, because I don't even know when I first heard you guys. It is a while ago, but one track, when you mentioned production, my mind was instantly like Test Drive. Like, that is just, man, I love smashing that song out. Like, honestly, just whack the volume up and just bang it out. It's just, what a tune.
That's so nice. Thank you. Yeah, well, that was really cool, because we had recorded that with the producer that we worked with a lot in the past, who's amazing. But we also had in mind this other producer called Con that we thought would do really well on that track. And he came to watch us play at Big Sound, and we'd recorded Test Drive, but we wanted to tweak it a little bit and add some different production. And we were like, oh, Con would be so great at giving it a little bit of, like, I don't know, he's just really good at filling out sounds and everything. And he came to our show and he said hi, and he mentioned that song specifically, that he really liked it. We were like, well, we would love for you to work your magic on that track, if you don't mind. And so, yeah, he came on board for that, and we've worked with him for the last couple of singles. So that was a really cool experience.
Unreal, man. That's really cool. And quite nice to hear it as well, because I've definitely spoken to bands in the past where they are very, like, insular is probably the wrong word, but very, like, a bit of a closed book, and they're like, my art is my art. I don't want so-and-so coming in stealing shit, or like adding bits in. So it's quite nice. Have you guys always been like that from the off, in the sense that you're like more than happy for a third party to come in, offer their like 10 bob and what they want to put in there?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, well, we all met at WAPA. So, well, actually, Sass and Meeks, the guitarist and bass player, grew up in Denmark together. They've known each other since they were little tiny babies. So they've been friends forever. But I think at WAPA, you're really encouraged to collaborate. And we kind of started the band by writing together in practice rooms. And just that was just the culture of Dulcy, is just to share your songwriting ideas and all work on it. And that's something we've carried out since. Even with Off By Heart, that song started out completely different. It was a very slow piano ballad, very sad song. And then we took it to one, and yeah, and we actually tried recording it a few times, but it just wasn't really working. And we took it to Con, recorded it one way. The next day he sends us a text being like, guys, I had a dream last night, and I've come into the studio super early because my dream told me we need to completely make it a different tempo and timing, and came in and it's this like pop banger.
Pop banger. It is indeed a pop banger.
Yeah. A pop banger. Yeah, it's changed a lot since the start. So I think that's testament to lots of different input.
Yeah, nice, man. It's yeah, I like that you're able to adapt like that and go with different styles. With that in mind, I don't even know when I put the notes for this interview together, because that's how long this email ping pong game has been going on for.
I feel like I've been at work and I keep seeing your email pop through. I'm like, oh, oops.
Yeah. And because I now live in a country that's bigger than planet Earth itself, there's about 50 different time zones. I think that's one of the reasons we didn't catch up once.
Yeah.
Because we were like, oh, did you mean this time?
I literally had Zoom earlier today and I got the time wrong because they were over east. But luckily I saw it. I was like, oh yeah, I'm jumping on now.
So when I was putting stuff together for this interview, I had a look. I had got down a bit of a Dulcy YouTube rabbit hole, and there was a video of you.
Oh, Dulcy deep dive.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh, I hate to know what you discovered on the YouTube dive. That's going to be brilliant.
Well, there was a video of you guys. You were in an interview and the girls teed you up to do a freestyle rap.
Oh. Are you serious?
Is this something that you are proficient in?
Wait, is this me or Sass? Because I feel like Sass is the rapper.
I think it was you. I'm pretty sure it was you.
Was it? I feel like there was a time where I used to just freestyle rap all the time, and I'm really sad that we're bringing this up right now, because I thought those years were behind me. I really can't rap at all.
Did you ever have a rapper like Alter Ego? Was there a name?
Yeah, there was actually. I don't know if I should disclose this, but
oh,
it's
please.
A joke, obviously. but it was Ashley. I don't know how it got there, but it did. And I literally can't rap, so I don't know where it even started.
But you do slay, so.
Oh my gosh.
You're like, oh, that was a ghost deep in my closet.
Yeah, I can't believe you found that out. Sass is always doing little freestyle rap.
Okay. Well, maybe there's a rap battle in the works somewhere.
Yeah, totally. If Sass was here today, we could have rap battled it out.
Sounds like she's passed away. I hope that's not the case. If she was here today, she would laugh.
Oh, yeah, if she was here today. God bless her soul.
Oh, dear. Anyway, I just want a slight gear shift. I want to obviously...
Yeah.
Summer is coming up in Australia, which is bizarre for me. It's really weird. I'm normally like wrapping up big time.
That's true.
This is like, this is always a weird topic to bring up, especially myself being a guy. Because I remember this as a thing, probably around the time you guys were starting out, actually. It was a real conversation in music about the lack of female artists on festival lineups. And I hate being like, oh, because just being like the black and white chat of, there needs to be more. It's a bit weird. Because I find, in general, Australia tends to be a lot better than at home for this.
Right, really?
Yeah, have you ever had any issues with that yourself or as a band?
We have had issues in the past. Yeah, we definitely have. But I feel like when we first started the band, you're right in saying there was like this big movement about women in music and having more equal lineups and everything, and I do feel like that kind of worked in our favor at the time we were coming through, because everybody wanted a three-piece girl band on the lineups. We were just playing like 3 weeks or 3 gigs a week when we first started playing. We're just saying yes to everything. But I feel like there's definitely been progress in that. I feel like there's probably still work to be done, but I think it's getting better.
Yeah, for sure. Because I remember that's so funny. You said, we hit the fucking jackpot. We're like, sick.
We're done with this.
Yeah, definitely. Because do you remember as well? I don't know if it was, they did the same in Australia, but with Reading and Leeds, which are obviously huge festivals at home.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Someone put up like on socials, it was like the lineup poster with all of the guys blanked out, and it was just like three acts left on the page.
Yeah. I remember seeing some. I think it must have been that, because I think there was a few things like that coming out, and it was just pretty crazy.
Yeah, definitely. But it's obviously great that it's changing. But yeah, in terms of you guys this summer, you mentioned you say or were saying yes to everything. Are you more kind of choosy with where you're playing and what you're doing now? Because I suppose there is that danger of burnout as a band.
Yes, there is. But we've got a really great booking agent, and I feel like they do a lot of the background work for us with gigs. So they'll pitch us to different promoters, and they've gotten us some amazing shows this year. I think we've got about 3 or 4 festivals coming up this summer. So we're super stoked, because it's really fun playing on festivals. But yeah, we definitely are kind of a little bit more like, choose what we want to play, because I think in Perth, being so small as well, it's very easy to overplay Perth, and like you can't be playing every week because then nobody will come to your shows. Because
not this fucking lot again, Jesus!
Not this band again. I mean, we've already lived here for. I mean, we've all been living in Perth while doing this, so it's probably
yeah.
Oh, that good old Dulcie doing their thing, you know?
Yeah, just playing in the background. No one's paying attention anymore.
We definitely played a few of those.
Too good. And are you guys a band that will typically stay on for the festival weekend? If you're playing, say, on the Friday, are you there for the weekender? Are you staying on?
If we can, absolutely. We are the band that will come down at the start and try to watch as many bands as we can.
Yeah, gotta be done, man. It's just, I'm honestly, some of my mates who are in bands are like, I don't even know I'm that bothered about being in a band. It's just the free ticket to all the festivals.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. Like, we have been so lucky in the past being able to, I mean, being broke musicians as well. You're just like, oh, sick, we can go to that festival now. Yes.
Yeah, just walking around with your AAA passes, having the time of your life.
Yeah. So good. It's the best.
Real, man. And one thing before we get into the dream gig venue as well is another topic that's been kind of like, in the musician ether for a while. It was like the whole thing around socials, because let's be real, I don't think anyone actually enjoys socials that much. Like, regardless if you're in a band or you're just an everyday user, it's a bit like, what is this shit? I've actually deleted Instagram off my phone because I keep getting added into group chats and I'm like, can you not just message me, like, or yeah, call me?
There's so many different platforms these days as well. There's so much.
It's ridiculous. So I suppose this would have changed a bit from when you had a manager and you are now managerless and doing things your own way. When you had a manager, was there more emphasis on like, all right, girls, you need to get X, Y, Z out on this platform, but in this time frame? And as opposed to now, on the flip side, are you guys much more like, oh, just fucking post whenever? Or are you quite conscious of...
A little bit. I feel like having a manager in the past was really helpful to kind of learn good release like timelines or how to structure your rollout of content. So I feel like we've kind of taken that system and now we can plan for our future releases. But we've always been in charge of our own social media. Yeah, we all kind of chip in with that. Sass does a lot of the TikTok. I do a lot of the Instagram and we share it around a bit, but it can be a little bit tedious.
I don't doubt that. With that in mind then, you run your own socials. I've got to ask, do you have any, I can imagine you have some really nice ones, but do you have any fucking strange DMs come through?
Oh, we probably do, hey.
I was going to say, because like, as I say, I've got mates who are in bands and I know for a fact they have some strange fans.
Are they the kind of bands that you would expect to get strange messages? Or are they just normal random bands?
Nah, not really. Just like, like fans that would turn up everywhere, like no matter where they play, they'd turn up and they'd message after every show sort of thing.
Yeah, we have a few of those, which is like, it's nice. It's like, oh, that they're really supportive.
I feel like there's a but.
No, it's great.
Okay, so no weird band DMs whatsoever.
Nothing super weird that's coming to mind, but... who knows? It has been a lot of years that have elapsed, so it probably is something that I'm getting.
Yeah, fair. Right then, Ash, let's head down to the Dream Gig venue.
I'll have 2 pints, please. Fuck, I love this band. Get us a couple of frothies, mate. Yeah, boy, yeah. Where are you going to have your dream gig, mate? The Dream Gig venue. Step this way.
All right then, Ash from Dulcie, let's get into it. First of all, what is the name going to be of the Dream Gig venue and what size, like what sort of cap are you going for?
Okay. Goodness me. Is this like in Perth or anywhere?
Anywhere. It's a Dream Gig venue, Ash. It can be anywhere. It could be in heaven if you want to.
Oh my goodness. You know what? We actually played one of my biggest dream venues last weekend. We played at Red Hill Auditorium in Perth and it was so cool. That was definitely like a bucket list venue. But where else? I feel like I don't super know the names of all the venues. I feel like there's this really cool one in Sydney that's like outdoors.
I'd love it if we just called the Dream Gig venue, just call it outdoors.
Sydney outdoor venue. It looks so cool. I feel like everybody who listens to this will know what I mean.
But what personalised name are you giving the venue? I maybe just call it Ashley's.
Oh, is that okay? It's Ashley's.
Ashley's would be a great name. I reckon it would confuse a lot of people, but at least you know what's going on.
Yeah, good luck finding it.
That's why it's a Dream Gig venue. No one goes. You're just playing, jamming out
exactly.
By yourself.
Exactly, it's our dreams. Yeah, exactly.
So what sort of capacity does Ashley's have?
Ooh, let's say, I reckon, not like, maybe not arena big, a bit smaller than that.
Whatever that is, sure.
Whatever that is, I don't know. I feel like we did play an arena once and it was amazing, but it was pretty scary. So I feel like...
I can imagine. Where was this? And were you supporting someone or what?
Yes, we were supporting Ocean Alley. It was maybe 2 years ago now. And it was Melbourne Arena, and it was so crazy because we were playing first on, and usually it was a pretty sparse crowd. But for that show, people came down early, and it was like walking out to so many people.
Yeah, mate, that's insane. That must be so weird.
It was insane. It was like adrenaline pumping through your body.
Yeah, holy shit, man. I don't envy you whatsoever, honestly. I'm like, I've done a best man speech twice. That compares, right?
That would be scary, though, because I almost feel like more intimate things. Like, if I had to play a song to my mum and dad and they were the only audience, I would be so terrified to do that for some reason. Like, it's way more scary.
The literal, you're terrified of the people that brought you into the world.
Oh, wait, that sounds so bad. I'm the best parent, so supportive. And they would love for me to do that. But I feel like it's like when you're really close to people or, like, your closest friends. I mean, I get scared showing the Dulcy Girls song sometimes. Like, he's not very good.
Yeah. I tell you one thing before we move on to the next part of the dream gig venue. One thing I've always never, ever got my head around is, you know, when you, like, it's normally like a film scene or something. When I, like, just imagine everyone naked. And I'm like, how's that not weirding you out? You've got people of all ages just stood there naked.
Honestly, what is a good tip for, like, anxiety before you play? Because I always get anxious before I play.
Tequila.
Yes. Nice.
That's it.
Not spicy margaritas.
I've heard there's a manager role going, so you never know.
Well, look, you sold me a tequila, so you got the job.
Get in there. Okay then, Ash, next step of the dream gig venue, what is the dress code that everyone has to abide by?
Ooh, the dress code. I feel like everybody needs to come in something colourful.
Okay.
Because that would be really cool to look out and there's just big rainbow colour everywhere.
Okay, I've got to ask you this question because this is oddly becoming a running theme. And if you also say it, I'll be like, what the hell's going on? What footwear would you want everyone in?
Crocs.
Right, okay, this is weird. Everyone's pretty much gone for sandals or thongs or like croc type shoes.
I only said Crocs because you said this has become a running theme and I thought it's probably Crocs.
Normally it's like sandals pretty much, so Crocs essentially tie into that.
Sandals? Yeah. Wow, everyone's going to get their toes stepped on.
Crocs with a steel toe cap inside?
Yeah, Crocs with a steel toe cap. Lock it in.
Look, you fully crossed your arms like that. You were being really serious.
Yeah.
Yeah, lock it in, son. Yeah, lock it in.
Yeah, lovely.
Amazing. Okay, up next, we got to get onto the snacks.
Oh, okay.
What free drink are you having on tap? And what free food is available for everyone?
Oh, okay. Usually we're gin girlies, so we usually have a good old gin on our rider. But if it's like, if it's endless possibilities, then maybe espresso martinis. But then that would really mess you up if you had too many.
Yeah, you'd be buzzing off your head during a gig.
Yeah, I have one espresso martini, I'm bouncing off the walls.
Oh my god, yeah, they're a pain in the ass to make as well. I used to work at a cocktail bar, nightmare.
Oh really? Oh yeah. I feel so bad because I feel like every time we go to a gig where there's like we can get a cocktail, all of us get an espresso martini.
Yeah, that is the thing.
They're probably rolling their eyes at us.
It's normally like a group of five and you're like, fuck's sake.
We are the problem.
Yeah. By the way, I have to say, because gin is typically known as like the proper depressing alcohol, and you were just like so on the opposite vibe. You're like, we're gin girlies.
We're gin girlies. That is so funny. I didn't know that. Yeah, we've always been on the gin train.
Too good. Beautiful. Okay, and what snack? What food?
Okay, Meeks would say honey soy chicken chips. What would Sass actually recent at the Red Hill show? It was so funny because everybody's rider was lined up next to each other. So it was like the first support van, the second support van, our rider. It's like every single rider like got one extra thing added to the like snack pile. And for this show, we got jerky on our rider. They just gave us like the next level up was a packet of jerky.
Is that when you did you look at each other and be like, fuck, have we made it?
We did. We're like, oh, we've got jerky on our rider. What is happening? And I hadn't had jerky before.
All come out with really like chiseled jawlines because you've been chewing for an hour before the show.
Yeah, it was a good vocal warm-up.
This is quite a big one. This can be dead or alive. Who are you having as your support act?
Oh my gosh, dead or alive?
Why don't you give me one dead, one alive?
That's crazy. I mean, I could think of so many artists. I'm like, they're never gonna support us, but what would you say?
Dead, it would probably be a toss up between Bowie or well, the whole band aren't dead, only some of them. Probably the Clash.
Oh my gosh. Do you know what? Meeks, who plays bass, her uncle is in a band with somebody who was in the Clash. They just play in Perth now.
Really?
Yeah.
It must be, is it Paul Simonon, the bassist that was in the Clash? It must be him.
Perhaps, maybe. I don't know if they still play gigs, but that was pretty cool.
Oh,
pretty
mad.
Cool fact.
Okay. And my alive would probably, well, my favourite band's the Libertines, so maybe them.
Oh, cool.
All right, you got to hit me with yours now, Ash. Come on.
Okay. Bowie is a good option. I would love to see Bowie play live. That would be really cool. Also, like, Queen or something. They have so many tunes. There's so many options. I'm sure Meeks would say something more like rock and roll or soul kind of feel. I don't know who to lock in for that. I'm just going to say Queen because that's just what's coming to my head right now. An artist that I really, really love at the moment is an artist called Ryan Beatty.
Ryan Beatty. I need to check this guy out.
Oh my gosh. Check him out. I'm obsessed with his latest album. I haven't stopped listening to it since it came out. I don't know if he's ever coming, when he's coming to Australia or anything, but my dream right now is to see him play live. So that would be pretty cool.
Unreal. Okay. I'm finally at a dream gig venue. This is a big one. Again, this could be anyone. This could be like some rando that lives down the road from you. Who's doing the security on the front door? It could be anyone, a celeb, again, a former artist.
Now I'm just thinking of Freddie Mercury in his little tank top with his guns out. I'm like, he could just do security and then go play a gig.
Make him earn his paycheck.
Yeah. Security. Goodness me. Could be anyone.
Anyone.
Anyone on security. Who's that guy, like The Rock or something?
Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne Johnson on the door. That would be hilarious.
This is such a weird gig venue. You got fucking...
Yeah, Queen, I'm sorry.
Queen is Queen is the support act with Freddie Mercury sometimes doing security. And when he's... and when... just covering for the man on his break, who is Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah. It's going to be great. Everyone get your tickets. Try and figure out where the venue is. Nobody knows, but it's happening.
And bring your steel toe cap Crocs.
Yes. This feels like a fever dream. I'm here for it.
Amazing. Well, that concludes the dream gig venue. That is Ash Lays.
Woohoo!
Anyway, Ash, thanks ever so much for dropping by for a chat. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was lots of fun.
Alt Down Under.
Well, if you ever imagined Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Freddie Mercury rocking up in the same gig venue together to sort out security, then yeah, you're welcome. That's the sort of stuff you get here on Alt Down Under. My thanks once again to Ash Carr-White, who covers vocals and keys for Dulcie. And yeah, do keep an eye out for when they're hitting the road. Follow them on socials. Because, yeah, as you can tell from that interview, such a down-to-earth group. And just, I think they deserve good things to come to them. And they're just doing so well. You can go and vote for them in Triple J's Hottest 100 as well. They've got a couple of tracks on there that you can hopefully help boost up, lift up the Hottest 100 ladder. You can go and vote now for Test Drive and Off By Heart. Get behind the gals.
Alternative Down Under.
That's pretty much it for episode 4 of Alt Down Under with me, Luke Scanlon. Thanks once again for dropping by, guys. Honestly, you listening really does bring a smile to my face. And yeah, just makes all this very much worthwhile. Give us a like, a follow, a subscribe. You know the socials by now. Click follow on wherever you listen to us, on whatever podcast streaming platform that is. It really, really does help. In the meantime, have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I'll be back early January after my road trip, hopefully with many tales to tell you. And, of course, a review of some gigs and festivals. And that interview with the brilliant Declan McKenna. But for the time being, enjoy the mince pies, pull all the crackers, and just dive into all of the chocolate. Eat as much as you want. Fuck it. It's Christmas. Have a great time and I'll catch you in 2024.
Alternative Down Under.